South Haven. Ooh, very good. Everybody who participated yesterday and left loud, thank you very much. You never know what God's going to do through anything that was done yesterday, and we may never know, but we are the hands and feet of Christ, and that's what we're supposed to do, and that's what we got to do yesterday, so that was really cool. So welcome. Welcome to South Haven. If this is your first time here, thank you for trying us out and seeing what we're like. Inside of your bulletin is what's called a connect card. If you would fill out basic information about yourself on that card, and at the end of the service, you can put it in one of the black boxes back there, but the better option is to go out in the lobby to the right and go to the Meet the Pastor station, and he'll give you a cookie in exchange for that, so it's a pretty good win-win. If you have a prayer request or you need staff or anybody to get a hold of you, if you would write that under the comments, and one of the staff members will get a hold of you sometime this week. They're very good about following up. And also, you're not going to be pestered if you put your information down there, so don't worry about that. If you've been coming for a while and you want to know how to join the church, the membership process is done through a class called Discover South Haven. That is taught by Pastor Richard. The next class is going to be on October the 29th. It's done after the second service. You get lunch. It's about an hour and a half. Your kids will be taken care of, and at the end of that, you have the opportunity to join the church. You are not obligated to do so. And if you just want to know what the church believes and why and stuff, that's the class for you. On October the 11th is a new women's study that's going to start about hope, and watch this video on that.
Have you ever wondered, what if it never gets better? Why am I going through this? Does God even care about me? Those are questions we all ask in our suffering. We're all looking for hope. We're all looking for answers to these deep questions. I'm Vanitha Rusin, and I invite you to join me for my upcoming Bible study, Desperate for Hope, The Questions We Ask God in Suffering, Loss, and Longing. In this 7-session Bible study, we will meet women in the Bible who have been through suffering just like you have and asked so many of the same questions. Where is God in the midst of this? I will share my own story of suffering. I buried a child. I had a debilitating disease. I went through an unwanted divorce and single-parented 2 adolescent daughters. But I also deal with everyday things. I have found through the pages of Scripture some promises of God and a framework that I cling to in the midst of my own pain that I'd love to share with you. So if you're feeling disappointed or hopeless, I hope that you will come and find hope in the pages of Scripture.
There's more information on that in your bulletin. We are here this morning as a united body to worship our God, to worship our Creator, our mighty, powerful God, who knows you and loves us all despite of who we are. It's amazing to me, and I hope that you're here this morning because you want to be here, not because you have to be here. There's a huge difference between have to and want to. And I pray that all of us are here because we want to worship God. We want to worship the one who loves us. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we can come before you to sing your praises, to worship you, to bow at your feet, to acknowledge that you are mighty, to acknowledge that you are compassionate, that you love us, and that you forgive us. Oh, Father, may we come before you united and bowing down before you and loving you and praising you because we want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Cindy. And good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you today. Good to see you in God's house and welcome those who are watching us online. It's good to have you with us.
stand against us if our God is for us?
Check it out.
Even when I stumble, even when I fall, even when I turn back to your love is sure. You will not abandon, you will not forsake. You will cheer me on with never-ending grace. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us?
Put your hands together. Neither height nor depth,
neither height nor depth can separate us. Hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son to free us holds me in his love.
Sing it again.
Neither height nor depth can separate us. Hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son to free us holds me in his love.
Sing for joy.
Sing for joy now. Our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice out. No love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Sing with joy now. Our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. No love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us?
Amen. What a great declaration to start our service with. A few weeks ago, we introduced a new song, and I kept having people come up to me and go, what was that country western song that we sang a few weeks ago? Or what was that Branson-like song we sang the other? I think I said Branson first, so that's okay. It's All My Ways Are Known to You, and what a great statement. Aren't we glad? All our ways are known to Him. Psalm 139 talks about He knows my coming, my going, my rising up, my going down. And later on in that, He said, God knit me in my mother's womb and knew me before I was born. Aren't you glad about that today? He knows every intimate part of you. He created you. And so, even in this fun little song, be reminded that God knows every part of you and He loves you. Let's sing. All right, sing with me.
In days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, though rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you.
No trial
has come beyond your hand. No step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view. Still all my ways are known to you. And though a peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you.
I do not fear the
church is Christ my form, and His Spirit is the way. Now the God who truth of all shall not hear, shall not be. By His blood He will save, He is free, and I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who is resurrected me.
Declare, church.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the
seriousness and with earnestness today. Father, the very phrase of praising your very name, praising our King of Kings, Father, we were reminded in Scripture that in our absence and in the lack of the praises of your people, Father, inanimate objects will do that in our stead. And may that not be the case, Father. May there not be creation or any rocks crying out on our behalf. But Father, may we see and may we experience, may we know the very essence of what it means to walk with you, experience you, praise you. May we understand, Father, that there is a connection in which you have given us life and breathed air into our lungs and give us purpose. And Father, the provision of Jesus for salvation and the direction of the Spirit of God within us. Father, all those things come together are worthy of a praise. Worthy, Father, of that mystery of who you are, Father, but even recognizing it and expressing our love towards you because of it. Father, in moments like these, we may sing words, but Father, maybe there are many and some in the room that are heavy of heart. They're trying to discover and find a path, a way, a moment, an emotion. Yet, Father, in the moments like these right now, we are just recognizing your very presence. We are grateful for how we can do this freely and openly. But, Father, I'm asking on behalf of the heavy-hearted, I'm asking on behalf of those that are just searching and looking, that, Father, there would be a reality that comes to their heart and life today. That, Father, even beyond what I'm about to say, there is subject matter that we are working through that you've placed on my heart. But, Father, we are recognizing that your voice is far greater and far mightier than my voice, that your vocabulary is far more extensive, that your words are far vast. So I recognize, Father, that you're about to say far more than what I've got to say. You're about to speak in ways that I could never imagine. So, Father, that is your activity, and we welcome that, and we desire that, Father. My limited mind, my limited words are insufficient, but you are all sufficient. So, Father, as our teacher and as our guide this morning, we are just grateful that we can have this moment in time. Father, may you find today that as you speak, So here's just a few things I want you to know. 215 bags of groceries went out, and it was just phenomenal. 1,260 cookies. Okay, it was pretty good. Cars were washed. Block parties were had. Grass was cut. Fences were mended over and over again. Something was going on here in the body of Christ. Babies were rocked. Prayers were lifted up. Prayers were offered. Here's what we find. I find that of those hundreds of hot dogs served, hundreds of gospel conversations, hundreds of prayers were offered, hundreds of people were blessed, including those in this room, including those that participated. See, I think God does far more in the body of Christ as we go out and we are mobilized as a church far more. He does something significant within us far more than I believe sometimes we do, those individuals that are receiving the love of Christ. We had one church that was mobilized in the midst of that. What a blessing that was. And you know what? The kingdom impact is yet to be seen. And we may never understand and never know how many people's lives are touched or blessed. And maybe you were one of those this morning. Maybe you showed up this morning because someone blessed you yesterday. Someone did a kindness to you yesterday in the name of Jesus. And you're here figuring that out. And what's all that about? We welcome you. And so glad that God has prompted you to be here. We believe in divine appointments, not accidents. And you are here by that very divine appointment. Significantly meaning that God has something to share with all of us when we come together in the name of Christ as a divine appointment. So wow, what a great day. Whether you rocked a baby, brought in the donuts, or made coffee, or cut some grass, or gave away groceries, whatever it was, or lifted us up on your prayer team, God used you in a significant way. You know, these things happen as we just have a heart for our community. We take the Great Commission seriously. We want to take the hope of Christ to people on a regular basis. Thank you for doing that. You know, it's made possible as well because of your generosity. As you give, we can go. As you give, we go and we do the creative things that we were able to do yesterday through Love Loud. I thank you for your giving. I thank you for your generosity through this point of the year. The offering boxes at the exit are a great way to consistently do that, as well as southhavenchurch.org/give, which many prefer to do as well in a very seamless and very wonderful way to stay connected to your church. Our Elevate offering is that which we are doing to improve our Jerusalem, and there's more information about that at the information desk center out right outside these doors. But we're working through a series of messages called What We Believe. This is like our third week. We've looked at a couple of already, what we believe regarding we are created in the image of God. And so we've looked at that. That was our first one. We believe in God's Word or believe in the Bible. We did that last weekend. Both of those are already online if you want to go and check those out. See how we treated that subject matter and see what that looks like for us on what we believe. And today is a little different. And actually today I'm going to challenge you in something here. I'm going to challenge you to stay with me. Because when we treat a doctrinal position such as the Trinity, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's almost like, wow, how do I make that real practical in my life? What am I going to do with that? Okay? Well, if you just hang with me, I believe you will be very pleased of some practicality that comes through understanding this wonderful doctrine that we embrace as believers in Christ, God's Word, and the Trinity in which we find it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's kind of hold on. Let's look at that. So hang with me as we delve into this today. So it wasn't but just a few weeks ago, Amy and I were in Texas visiting some family. It was a lot of things. It's always hot in Texas. And when we arrived on that Friday afternoon, it was 110. And so actually, it was just like we kept seeing the temperature climb. And further south we went, the higher the temperature were. So by the time we were at my sister's house, we landed there, 110 degrees. And then by the time we go to bed, we're in bed, it's about 11 o'clock. It's still above 100. It's still like it hasn't come down much. And so then this thing happened. This storm came through. Okay, and you think, wow, that really cooled things off. Well, it really didn't. But what it did do is knock out the electricity in about 100,000 homes in the area. It was just horrible, even in my sister's house. So now, what does this look like? For the next 18 hours, there's no electricity. Did I tell you it was 110 the day before? And it was like that same temperature on that day. And so all of a sudden, you know what happens when your electricity goes out and it's 110 degrees and it's really hot. You know what? You have this really healthy appreciation for electricity, don't you? It's that thing that you miss and it's like, wow, I really, really miss air conditioning right now. And it was a good thing. It's like my sister started cleaning out their freezer because the ice cream was melting, so we had ice cream for breakfast. I highly recommend that. understand it, but I like what it does, okay? And you do as well. I like how it cools my home in the summer. I like how I use electricity to refrigerate my food and to cook my food. I like that it provides me entertainment as far as it plugs, you know, I've got a television and that kind of thing. So I like these types of things about electricity. I just don't understand it. So I have a healthy respect for it as well. I have a respect for electricity. I turn off the breaker box if I'm going to do any type of electrical thing around the house. And it's powerful. It's necessary. And, of course, again, like we all know, we miss it when it goes down. You know, and I find that though I don't understand electricity, but I like electricity, I kind of find that's kind of what we're talking when we talk about the Trinity. I maybe don't truly understand the Trinity, but I kind of think I like it. I kind of think there's an element there when we talk about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure how all that works together. It's kind of mysterious, but I think it works together well for us. And I want to delve into that for just a moment, and that we believe in this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And though we may not understand it, hopefully by the time we walk away from here, there's a little bit more of like, I get it, but I'm glad it's there, and I still totally don't understand it. It's okay. You know, the Trinity, if it's just can put it in one sentence, it just really comes down to this. It is that God exists as one essence in three distinct persons. So there is one God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, but what does that mean for us today, and how do we understand that? See, here's the problem with the word that we use, you know, in Christian circles like this, the word Trinity, is not a biblical term. So we don't find it in the Bible. I can't direct you to a passage of Scripture and say, see, it says right here, this is the Trinity and how God discloses himself. So I can't do that. So why even mess with it, and why even delve into it and treat it like this? Because it's this, because there's evidence of Scripture where the Trinity exists. It's a term that we've used to identify the actions and the workings of who God is to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting, we find that even in the beginning of Scripture. We go right into the book of Genesis, and in the account of creation, we find this Trinitarian thing that emerges. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it all of a sudden emerges. We've looked at this here recently as well. This is what it said. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So you might have read that before, but have you ever really noticed there's a plurality there? There's plural there. It's not singular. And so what does that mean? It really kind of speaks to us that there's more here than just one entity of the Lord. Some have come and said, you know, I really believe that it's angels. That's the plurality, that their angels are a part of creation. But listen, we've got to really push hard back on that, because angels are created beings. Actually, we did a series of four messages on angels a couple of years ago. You can find that as well. And we just talk about they're created. So listen, there's nowhere in Scripture that says I am or you are. We are created in the image of angels. We are created in the image of God. And so it's not angels. So it comes back. It gives us an understanding that we do have, that there is a pre-existent Christ. The Holy Spirit was present. God the Father was present. And this is all a part of creation. When we come into the New Testament, we find this wonderful little story of Jesus first coming into his earthly ministry. And as he begins this ministry, all of a sudden we find at his baptism by John the Baptist, there is a Trinitarian perspective or aspect right there at Jesus' baptism. Matthew chapter 3, beginning verse 16, listen to what, when Jesus was baptized, and so here let's identify, the Son is at his own baptism. He went up immediately from the water, the heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is doing what? Descending like a dove and coming down on him. So Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and the voice of heaven hears the Father, God the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So though the word's not there, the evidence of the Trinitarian aspect is there. But still, it doesn't keep us from trying to explain the Trinity. We'll do all kinds of things to kind of bring it together. And what does that look like for us? And so we'll want to put together an analogy just to kind of like, hey, can I get my mind around this? So you might have heard of some of these. Like the Trinity is like an egg. You know, you've got the yolk, and you've got the white, and you've got an eggshell. Okay, so you got three different components, but they're all kind of in one. I've heard it like this, that the Trinity is like a pizza. You know, like it's one pizza and three slices. And so, you know, you kind of turn that. And then I found this one. And now, actually, this kid was actually from a Christian school. And at his Christian school, evidently, they were having a test on some doctrines. And he does this. This is his idea of the Trinity. We explain the Trinity. So you have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid. Now, listen, you know, some of you say, like, fine. insufficient in conveying the true essence of the Trinity, but I want to, here's what I want to do. I want to talk through what that looks like as a doctrine, but we're going to do a hard shift here at the end, just so if you hang with me, because I think there's a really good area here where it gets very practical for us and some understanding, where we can go home with something that's very helpful for us today. So the first thing I just want to help us to see, just three truths. You know, I had to be 3 points because we're talking on the Trinity, right? So I had three truths about this Trinitarian aspect. And the first thing is we just find that God just consists of three persons. So let's talk about that. Throughout the Bible, the three aspects or persons of the Trinity are all referred to as God. We see God the Father is a person of the Trinity. Jesus does this. Do you remember Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17:1? When Jesus begins to approach him, this is it. Right before he goes to the cross, he spoke these things. He looked up to heaven. Father, he's addressed the Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. So we all of a sudden right there that Jesus is addressing the Father, but then we also just find that Jesus is addressed as God himself. When Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, when he reminds us that the entire fullness of God's nature dwells in Jesus. So there's this aspect of three persons, very distinct, but God consists of these individuals. And then even the Holy Spirit, we see that as God. There's a story of, you might remember the story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias, they withheld some proceeds of selling some property from the church. And actually they had committed, say, hey, we're going to give all this money. And then they withheld some for themselves. And it is when Peter calls them out on that, Peter says, "You, why did you lie?" Listen to what he says. "Why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to people, but to God." So immediately out there, they're saying there's three persons of the Trinity. Each is addressed in God's Word. And then we find not only are there three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but each one is God. Each one is God. So here's what we find is that each one, it means each person of the Trinity contains all the same attributes of the other. Not one has more attributes than the other. They all have the same grace. They all have the same holiness. They all have the same power, omnipotence, everything, righteousness. They all have the same perfection. They're all the same. You might have had this question before, and I've received this myself, regarding, you know, if we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom do I pray when I pray? It is a little confusing, isn't it? So am I doing an injustice to one or the other, or is that my prayers being slighted? So let's come back and understand that they all have the same attributes, and there's not one or the other. Actually, we can safely say we can pray to all three of them and be very safe in that God is not offended in our prayers. You know, we find that in Scripture when Jesus said, when the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," Jesus said, "Well, you pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, hey, it's okay to pray to the Father. We understand that. We find that even at the martyrdom of a man named Stephen, you know what? At the moment that he was being, right before he was killed, he was martyred, the first Christian martyr. "Lord Jesus, take my spirit." Jesus even said, yeah, when you pray to the Father in my name. So Jesus said, you can pray in my name, such as that. Jude chapter 20 even reminds us about praying in the name of the Holy Spirit as you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we find here that we're covered. It's okay. And sometimes situations call for that. Sometimes in the midst of prayer, God, I'm asking you to fill me today with your Spirit. Father, I need wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. Dear Jesus, help me today. Oh, Father, would you be my guide today? Very, very in keeping, and it's all good, because we're praying to the same God that is fully God, that is manifesting himself in three different ways. And then another thing, we just find, yep, three parts of the Trinity. Each person is fully God, and there is only one God. Again, backed up in Scripture, "Listen, Israel," Deuteronomy 6:4, "the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Paul writes in Romans 3, "There is only one God." He makes people right with himself only by faith. And then James reminds us that even the demons believe there is one God. Do you believe that God is one? Yep, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So we find that, yeah, a very comprehensive, complex understanding. How do we do with this? What do we do with this? Let's get practical. I want to give you some practical implications regarding this. What should this do for us? thing I think it should do for us. The Trinity should change the way we view God. The Trinity should be able to help us to have a greater understanding and depth of God in the complexity and mystery of who He is. The Trinity actually, as it changes the way we view our God, it reminds us that we are not an ordinary, that we serve not an ordinary God. That actually reminds us that we can't figure Him out. It reveals to us that there is a vastness of His abilities and His knowledge and power. I think sometimes we get comfortable with God. And what we want to do with God is we want to kind of bring Him down on our level. And we want to say, God, I don't understand. I want to bring You down here. But there is a vastness to Him that we do not get to understand. And so when we appreciate that, so here, it's even what Paul says in Romans 11. I love how Paul brings this together. And even his understanding of who God is. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and untraceable His ways. So Paul was even giving us a glimpse here. He's like, he can't figure it out. For who has known the mind of our Lord? Who has been His counselor? For from Him and through Him and to Him all things. To Him be the glory forever. Here's what Paul, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I found it fascinating what Paul is doing here. When he says, the depth of His riches, the wisdom of His knowledge, unsearchable judgments, untraceable ways. I find you know what Paul is doing here is he is praising God for things he does not know about God. Have you ever done that? I was like, wow, I don't know if I've ever done that. I've never given God praise for what I don't know about Him. I've only given Him praise, what? When I'm blessed, when things are going good, when the bank account's full, my health is good, it's a sunny day, all is perfect in the world, and it's all good. You know what? I'm praising Him. God, Your blessings are wonderful. I praise You, God, this, but He took a moment. He said, God, I'm praising You for the things I don't know. I think it challenges me. And hopefully it challenges you because it really brings us to a point of saying, God, You're far more vast and far more complex than I could ever imagine. And so I'm going to praise You for who You are, what You're going to do, and the things I don't even know. I think it changes. It should change the way we view God. It should open our minds and our eyes to say, God, if there was all three of the persons of God at creation, and we find that throughout Scripture, there's this vastness there of who You are that's beyond I could ever imagine. And yet, we get to praise Him, our view of God, which we ought to do more often. On some of the things that we do know, Paul praises Him for what he doesn't know, but what he does know. For you and me, what do we know? Well, I know that He's my Savior. I know that He has given me the Spirit of God within me to be my guide and be my leader and to help me. I know that He lavishes His grace and forgiveness upon me. And so, wow, another aspect of saying, God, that's incredible. When we take those things for granted. So the Trinity should remind us and reveal to us that it changes my view of God. I think sometimes I've got a book on my shelf that's always intrigued me, and I love the title. Sometimes it's just the title of a book that can give you great conviction. I don't know if you've ever had those books. I'm just like, man, the title is just wearing me out. I haven't read it. The title of the book is Your God is Too Small. Does that mess with your head a little bit? It messes with mine. It's like, oh, I believe that. I believe I treat God too small. I believe I don't see Him in the right way. I don't view Him like I should. And so the Trinity helps us to say, don't make God small. He is grander and more complex and mysterious and greater than we could ever imagine. The second thing the Trinity does, not just only does it change the way we view our God, but it reflects the unity and diversity of the church. You know when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:12 regarding how the body is one in many parts and all these parts come together to, as one body in Christ? You know, that's a Trinitarian view. That is the diversity of the body of Christ unified in one body doing the work that God has called us to do. That's what we find in the Trinity. So yesterday when we were out mobilized in our community and doing all these wonderful things in the name of Jesus and loving on people and praying for people, you know, that was kind of a Trinitarian view. That was a diverse group of people representing one church doing the thing that God has called us to do. That's what we find in the Trinity. It is diverse, but it's one God coming together. And that's how we experience this aspect of the Trinity being part of the diversity of the church. One more thing, and it's the Trinity is necessary for us to grow as Christians. You realize that there's a Trinitarian aspect to spiritual maturation. Let me show you how that looks. guide you into truth. He will declare to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit within us, all of a sudden, through God the Father, through Jesus and His resurrection and His death on the cross, all of a sudden we've got the Spirit of God within us. And the spiritual maturation process is identified within this Trinity. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. So there's a man who was a really big, he was an attorney, he was a politician, an orator, follower of Christ. His name was Daniel Webster. He's 19th century. You might have heard of him before. And he was once challenged as a follower of Christ on some of his doctrinal beliefs. I'm not sure how this individual understood what he believed. Maybe it was the church he attended or was a part of, whatever. But ask him, how can someone as smart as you believe in the Trinity? That's basically what he was said. You know, kind of challenged his ego and challenged his education and his intellect. Webster replied this way. He said, I do not pretend to fully understand the arithmetic of heaven. You know, he just said, there's some thinking about God's math that's just beyond me. I think that's it. I think that describes wonderfully that not truly being able to understand or not even pretending to understand the arithmetic of heaven. Here's what else I found. Being able to understand the arithmetic or the math of heaven goes beyond doctrine. And it becomes very personal. Because I find in Scripture that God's math or the arithmetic of heaven boggling my mind. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't see what God was up to. What was God up to? It doesn't add up. Really, God's math, God's arithmetic of heaven doesn't add up. When he calls a man named Gideon, who has already had a vast army before him when he was going to go fight the Midianites of 32,000 against 135,000, which seems a very lopsided battle to me. And God says, you have too many. You need to whittle it down. And now it's going to be 300 against 135,000. I do not understand God's plan. It makes no sense to me that when you have a boy named David, who all he has are three stones and a slingshot against the giant of the Philistines, and that's all he has. And Goliath is fully armored with all of his, and has the he's the biggest personality, the biggest person, and he is calling them out. That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up that a man named Daniel was thrown into a lion's den, and then you know what? Even though I don't know how many, you know, three lions, whatever, was in the lion's den, one man against one lion, that doesn't add up. One against three, it doesn't add up anymore. It doesn't add up to me. All these things. It doesn't add up to me. God's math doesn't make sense when Jesus is handed a boy's lunch of five loaves and two fish and he feeds thousands. Do you see that throughout Scripture, God is always not making sense and his math is always maddening to us. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that you've been running from God for the most of your life, or that that is your past, or that is your current situation. And even you say, well, and you're even here today just to try to find something, normalcy or some type of direction in life. And it doesn't make sense that all of your life you've been refusing Him, you're refusing church, refusing God. And as you walk up to Him, and as you embrace Him, and as you look to Him, all of a sudden what you discover is a second, third, fourth, fifth, and 1,000th chance as He calls you back home and embraces you and loves you. It doesn't make sense that you resisted Him all of your life, and all of a sudden He's right here, and He says, I'm still with you, I want to be here. He hasn't left you. You know what? That kind of math doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't add up in my life. That we can experience a life of pain and hardship and turmoil, and that we can be just ground to our knees, and the wheels have fallen off, and we get a promise in Scripture of a brighter tomorrow. It doesn't make sense. See, all that's not supposed to add up. And the brighter tomorrow says that all things work together for good for those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. It doesn't make sense. You know what that Scripture doesn't say? It doesn't say all the things you're going during is good. It says all the things work together for good for those who love Him. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up for me. And this is the easiest and most logical math for me. Because this is where I was at 15. It doesn't add up to me that I can do more good things than bad things, and that's still not what God's looking for in my life to bring me salvation and eternity in heaven. You see, that's the most logical math in the world today. There's so many people that are just depending on that kind of math. doctrinal things and God's heavenly math doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense. Heavenly math doesn't make sense. God's math doesn't make any sense. And so you say, wow, why is it? Because I want everything lined out. I want everything. I want T's crossed, dots, I's dotted. I want it to make sense. 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. Can you not be any more logical? And I wish I could just say, here, this is the secret formula. This is where it makes sense. What do you do? Here's what I do. Here's what I've had to do. Because it never adds up. It'll never make sense. You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm doing. I'm trusting in God's math. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to say, God, it doesn't make sense. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. The more you try to make it make sense in your life, the more frustrating it's going to be. And I promise you what's going to happen. The further you will move yourself from the presence of God. And actually what it'll come to is it'll come to anger and it'll come to just frustration. And you just say, God, here, because it's two directions. God, here's the first direction. Because it doesn't make sense and because your math is always so crazy and I can't figure this out, I want nothing to do with you. That's the first direction. I don't want anything to do with you because it's supposed to make sense. Or the second direction is that, God, I'm giving up my right to understand and I'm trusting in what doesn't make sense. I remember the day, I remember the time when I was trying to make sense of some things of life, like all you have. And I was it was on my knees crying out to God, I want this to make sense. I want, God, can you just show me why this is happening? Why this is happening? And it was just refusal, refusal, refusal. And then here's how he spoke to me. And he says, you do not get the right to understand. Okay. I don't get the right. I think that's for all of us. We just don't get the right to understand. So I'm going to trust his math and believe his activity is what is going on in best of my life. That's why I land in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's kind of a life verse for me because it sums it up in what I need to be doing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen to the language. Lean not on your own understanding, okay? Stop trying to let it make it make sense. You see, that's what, don't lean on my understanding. That means I'm trying to make it sense. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. I refuse to try to make sense, Lord. I'm giving it up to you. I do not understand. He said he'll make your path straight. From something as complex as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Trinity to something such as practical, but listen, can you not see? Maybe we don't totally understand, but I sure like what it brings to me, and I'll accept it here. And even though God's heavenly math is confusing, this is God's math. I accept it. That's where I'm going to live. I hope that today is where it finds you, that you receive his math, you don't understand, and it's okay. Pray with me. Father, I am grateful for heavenly arithmetic. And Father, again, it reminds us of the awesomeness and the vastness and the complexity of who you are. And Father, what each one of us need to be reminded of today with every scenario that doesn't add up in life, whether we find that biblically or we find that personally, when the scenarios and the situations that we're trying to be logical, they just don't add up. With every scenario, you are the common denominator. You are right there in the midst. You were with David. You were with Gideon. You were with Daniel. You were there present as the Lord and Jesus multiplying loaves and fishes with every situation. And so, Father, when we are trying to figure it out as we navigate life, you are there helping us to navigate that. So, Father, when we logically can't figure it out, you're in the midst just saying, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. May that be us today. What's not making sense to you today? How can we help you? Here in a moment, we're going to have some encouragers just right here at the end. They will pray with you. I'm not telling you they're going to have the answers, but they're prayer warriors. They're compassionate. They're loving. And they can help you in some way. Maybe something later this week. Maybe you just need to have a conversation with me or one of the staff members later this week over coffee or here. this to an end. The encouragers will be standing right here in just a moment, ready for you. I'm out at the meet and greet area. Or if you want to just fill out the connect card and say, I need someone to follow up with me, I need to have a conversation this week, please do that. Drop them in the offering boxes at the exit or bring it to me personally at the meet and greet. As we get ready to leave, I'm going to ask you to hang with me for about 2 or 3 minutes, because actually this right here is just worth celebrating. We have just a brief little Love Loud video from yesterday, a compilation. You can see the activity of God as God's church was mobilized and as we went out and impacted people's lives for the name of Christ. Watch this before we dismiss.
We speak your name, we lift our eyes, tune our hearts into your beat. Where we walk, there you'll be, with fire in our eyes, our lives alight. Your love untamed is blazing out, the streets will grow forever bright. Your glory's breaking through the night. You want to pray away, your love is here to stay. Look forward to meeting our guests out at the meet and greet area. Have a gift for you. Please come by. God bless you, church.